Okay. All right. Good morning, everybody. We're going to get started. Welcome. It is a privilege and an honor to be back here again. And I think this is either the third or fourth year that my brother-in-law is pulling this off. And Kanai Nahara, he does it every year. And I'm so proud to be his sister-in-law. And he should continue to have Hatzlacha. This is being recorded. So I wish my brother-in-law, Rabbi Reuven Tarragon, much Hatzlacha in his continued Avodas HaKodesh. And this is a ladies-only shiur, I'm sorry. And it's amazing that he pulls this off every year. Every year I walk in and I'm like, wow, he did it again. And so hopefully you're enjoying a full morning of Torah classes, and thank you for coming here this morning. So we're talking about peer pressure this morning. We're talking about peer pressure for students. We're talking about peer pressure for adults. Peer pressure is something that never lets up. Peer pressure is something very, very real. And in fact, the entire media and advertising industry relies on the fact that peer pressure is a very, very natural thing. And it is something that as soon as a child has somewhat become independent and have personal awareness, stays with a person through life. And I always love when I'm speaking about peer pressure to share this story because I don't know how many of you are teachers in here, but I know some of you are. And this is a second grade class story. And I taught second grade for 3 years. I happen to have loved teaching second grade. It was a fabulous age to teach. They're very fresh, but they're not babies anymore, but they're innocent and pure. It's a nice age. And I taught in Beth Tefillah Community School in Baltimore. So the students there were Modern Orthodox to not Orthodox, very cool crowd, and there was a very, very, I still remember the names, there's a very cool boy in my class, his name was Nathan, and Nathan came in one day, and he was wearing black jeans, the second grade, and a white t-shirt, and his Hebrew name was Nachman. I would call them, I was their Hebrew teacher, so I called them Nachman, and then there was another boy in the class who was like, not so cool. And his name was Peter. His Hebrew name was Pesach Yom Tov. Ask me why I remember this, but I've been telling this story throughout the years. And we were davening. It was a co-ed school, and we're davening, we're doing brachos. And all of a sudden, I see that Peter is taking off his shirt. He's just stripping in the middle of class. And the shirt is half off when I notice, and I'm like, Pesach Yom Tov, what are you doing? And underneath, he has his white undershirt. And he says, well, that's what Nathan's wearing second grade. Nathan was wearing a white t-shirt. And Peter saw Nathan wearing, and Nathan's cool, second grade. Nathan's cool, and he's wearing a white t-shirt. So he thinks he's going to look cool if he stands in front of the class in the undershirt. Yeah. And at the same time, we know, and we're going to discuss, we have Chazal who teach us kena sofrim tarbe chachma, that if you are jealous of someone who is learning more Torah, you will be able to learn more Torah. You are allowed to be mekane somebody's Dvarim Tovim. Somebody's, a member of my shul is making aliyah. I said to them, I am allowed to be mekane you. You are going back to Eretz Yisrael. I can have that. That peer pressure is often something that can encourage morality, mitzvot, studiousness. And on the other hand, it can encourage horrible averot or potentially dangerous things. And the Miftah Meliyahu gives a famous and fabulous mashal. He says, what is that negative influence? How does that negative influence work? He says, all a person needs to have is a tiny little opening of low self-esteem, what he calls a flaw. And the peer pressure can enter. He says, just like all you need physically is a little cut to get an infection. All you need is that little bit of, I'm not so confident, to feel that peer pressure, to feel that effect of what is around you in the world and how that can place an effect on you. And what's fascinating is that negative influences affect more easily than positive influences. I read a little Rebbe Shemaisa of how a Talmud came to his Rebbe and he said, Rebbe, I'd like to hear such and such a lecturer who was known to be an apikores give a lecture. I'd like to go and hear what they have to say. And the Rebbe says, no, no, you can't go. So the Talmud says to his Rebbe, but Rebbe, I listen to your speeches and I'm not affected. And he says to him, but the negative influence will have a stronger effect. And I read from Rabbi Avram Cohen in Toronto on a little blog spot that he has. He just says something very, and it's a true fact. He says, you have a clean cloth. We all know the clean cloth will not make the dirty cloth clean. It will become dirty from the dirty cloth. And Rahmana Litzlan, the same thing is true about a healthy person and a sick person. The healthy person may take away a 70th of the person's illness, but the healthy person can potentially get sick from the sick person rather than the sick person getting healthy from the healthy person. And that this is the innate teva of how HaKadosh Baruch Hu made this world. That the innate possibility is that we're more open to that outside influence, that outside pressure that really can have an effect on us. And in fact, we know that this is how David HaMelech opens his Sefer Tehillim. He has a lot to tell us. He wants to tell us so much, but he's first going to tell you what makes you a fortunate man. What makes you a man whose life will be successful, who will have success in the future, who will be able to do well in everything they do. Ashrei Ha'ish, how fortunate is that man? Who is that man? Shelo halach batzat v'sha'im, that he did not go in the ways of the wicked. U'ederach chata'im lo amad, and he did not stand in the ways of those who sin. U'b'moshav leitzim lo yashav, and he would not sit down with the fools. And Rashi says, Ashrehu shel ish, how fortunate is that man? U'tihilato shel adam, ilu shelo halach, because he didn't go, kach mitoch shelo halach lo amad. Because he didn't go with them, if you go with them, what's going to happen? You're going to stand with them. You're going to hang out with them. Umitoch shelo amad, and because he didn't even stand with them, lo yashav. He didn't sit. And he goes on to add on a different gersa and a different opinion. Halamadata shemoshav haleitz mevi lidei bitl toro. You know, if you're going to sit with fools, you're going to end up being mevatel Torah. She'eino skin b'Torah, says the Malbim, it's Moshe Yoshevei Kranot, it's those who sit in the corners and don't sit in Torah. But we see this as a natural process, so that if you hang out a little bit with that group, you are going to end up staying with them a little bit longer. And if you stay with them a little bit longer, you're going to end up sitting there. And Ashrei Ha'ish, says David HaMelech, what's going to be a fortunate life? If you don't do that, if you're able to enable yourself to hold back from that, and that opening that the Rav Dessler is pointing out, that little flaw that enables peer pressure to take effect, is that low self-esteem, which we'll see biktanim kmo shebigdolim. You'll see it in a 2-year-old, you'll see it in a 5-year-old, you'll see it in a 50-year-old, you'll see it in a 70-year-old. That I need to be like everybody else. I feel the pressure to be like everybody else. I need to do what they do. I need to do whatever is going on the streets. I was sharing recently, last week, I gave a class to returnees from Eretz Yisrael from their seminary year. And I told them how keep those fresh glasses on that you have from when you come back. I said, one of the first things I noticed is that you're all going to laugh at this, and this summer will be my 9th year in America. But it was, let's say, September, October time when we started living in this neighborhood. And I noticed that it could be 65 degrees outside and people are wearing boots. And a lot of you might not even think about that, but now you will because I'm sharing it with you, that if you walk on the streets in this neighborhood, as long as it's after Sukkot, and it could even be before Sukkot, depending on the date of the year, people are wearing boots, and it could be 70 degrees, and people are wearing boots. So why are you wearing boots? That's the peer pressure. That's that. That I'm going to schwitz, and I'm going to be hot, and I'm going to be wearing boots, because I have to do what everybody else is doing. And a person has to know that I have that confidence to, and that's what we're building in kids when we're teaching them, to be yourself. And be proud of yourself and not fall to that. But we have to know how strong that is, and therefore we're cautioned. And just to move from David HaMelech to the Mishnah in Avos, the Mishnah says, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai Amar LaTalmidim, he asks him, Ezehu, he says to his students, Ezehu derech yisharash yidbach bo ha'adam, which is the straight way? What's the best way? Ve'ezehu derech ra'a. And what's a bad way? You want to have a good way in life, you want to have a bad way in life. You want to know what are the best choices to make in life. You want to know what are the worst choices to make in life. And Rabbi Yehoshua is the opinion that we're going to go with now. Rabbi Yehoshua says, what's the best choice you can make in life? The best choice you can make in life is Chaver Tov. Chaver Tov is the best choice, and the worst choice you can make in life, obviously, is Chaver Ra. So one must ask, if they're Ra, how could they be a Chaver, right? So that if they're bad, how could they possibly be my friend if they're bad? And the Maharal says, what does it mean that they're a chaver tov or a chaver ra? Yesh chaver shemitchaber imo latov. There is a friend that joins you for good. V'yesh chaver shemitchaber imo lara. And there is a friend that will join you for bad. And that can be somebody who is mitchaber with you. You can be mitchaber to somebody who is ra for you. But that is called a chaver nevertheless. It is called a chaver ra ha-mitchaber imo la-ra. That they join them for the bad. I always like to say this, and I love to be recorded in saying this. I can say, having grown up, and I think most of us can say this, all the friends that our parents did not want us to be friends with, they were right. They were right. They saw that. They saw that that was mitchaber imo lara. But most of us probably went through some sort of stage. And again, when we're talking in educational conference, when we're talking about kids, we're talking about that tendency to a little bit want to be mitchaber imo lara, to want a little bit to be with that person that's a little bit more fun, a little bit different, a little bit. Somewhat, and I can say this in full confidence in knowing that that was the case. The Gras says, why? The Gras quotes the pasuk in Mishlei, im la leitzim yalitz, that if you are with leitzim, we said that the David HaMelech said in the Mishnah in Tehillim Aleph, b'moshav leitzim lo yashav. You don't sit with the leitzim. You don't sit with them. You don't want to be mitchaber imahem. And we're going to find that that is a choice term, la leitzim. That if you're with leitzim, yalitz, you will be leitz. You will be making fun. And we just finished Parshas Korach, and that really is the theme of Korach. That Korach got 250 people to do a crazy thing. With leitzanut, we typically think of modern Hebrew as leitzanut, as a leitzan, as a clown. But leitzanut is mockery. Leitzanut is a casual attitude towards Torah, towards mitzvot. It's that koach of leitzanut that says, oh, we have a cheder malei svarim, we have a room that's full of svarim. It doesn't really need a mezuzah. Oh, we have a talis that has completely tchelet on every corner. Does it really, really need to have the tzitzit hanging from it? It's that idea of leitzanut that's how he got them. He got them with that peer pressure. And any kind of mode, any kind of rebellion that we can think of throughout history in Klal Yisrael, somehow people were captured with the whatever was in the wind in those days. If we talk about the Haskalah of more of 100 or so years ago in Europe, it's out there, and you can want it, and it's pulling, and it's moshech, and that's why it's Ashrei Ha'ish. How fortunate is the man. Search for that friend who is mitchaber imo latov. Search for that friend. Look for that chevra that is mitchaber imo latov. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky says something fantastic about the mitzora. The mitzora, we know, is told in the pasuk in Yigimel Mem Vav, that what does he have to do? He has to be badad yeshev michutz lamachaneh. He has to sit alone outside the camp. That is, Miriam is the most famous mitzora that we have in history, and that the prescription for healing oneself from tzara'at was sitting alone outside the camp. We see very much in here the prescription is take yourself away from the crowd. Get yourself away from hanging out with other people. And that makes a lot of sense. You spoke Lashon Hara. You spoke badly about others. Get away from others. However, Rav Yaakov says something fantastic. Rav Yaakov says in his Emes LeYaakov, and he's very yashar, he says, how did tzara'at show up? So tzara'at first showed up on the house, and it showed up on the article of clothing, and then it shows up on a person's skin. If you follow the psukim and you follow the halacha, you know that he's not declared a mitzora until the Kohen tells him. He says, so theoretically, what can a person do? He can wear gloves. He can just like keep his hands in his pocket. And nobody will even know. And he'll never be declared a mitzora. He has to go. And the Kohen says, if tzara'at is something so bad that he must get out of the camp, then tzara'at should be bad for everybody else even before he's declared a mitzora by the Kohen. But there's something that makes him a mitzora dafka by the Kohen declaring him so, that now will send him outside the camp. So if he was just being sent outside the camp because it was bad for him to be with other people, it would have been bad for him to be with other people even before the Kohen declared so. And he says something fantastic. He says, really, when you're putting tzara'at on a person's hand, it's like you're giving them, you're shackling them in handcuffs, and you're giving them the key to open it. Meaning they really don't have to declare themselves. And if they don't declare themselves, then they don't have tzara'at. It's an amazing thing. And he says, the tzara'at really is a messenger to a person, correct your ways. And if he sees it and he realizes, he'll know he has to correct his ways. And to correct his ways, he needs to go to the Kohen, and the Kohen has to say mitzora, and he has to sit badad michutz lamachaneh. Says Rav Yaakov, not because he's a bad influence on everybody else. Ela litovato shelo titkalkel al yedei hachevra. Shehine nizok al yedei hachevra. Why did he mess up? Because he was in a bad peer group. He was in a group where we yapped about other people all the time. So he should go out for his own good. He has to be a person who wants to correct his way. He has to go to the Kohen himself and say, I want to be better. And if you want to be better, you need to separate from that. You need to separate from that chevra ra'ah. You need to do something physical that actually moves yourself to get out. And we know people who have moved communities, who have moved places. I personally have somebody very close to me who did that because they felt they wanted to be in a better community, in a better place for themselves, in a better place for their children. And that people do have that koch to say, okay, this is not a good chevra for me. I need to move. And if we look at the Torah, we see constant reminders that we need to insulate before we can take the influences. Starting, of course, with Avraham and Lot. What does he say to him? Hipared na me'alai. Get away from me. This is not good. If you go north, I go south. If you go east, I'll go west. If you go right, I'll go left. We can't be with each other. And if we look also at the halachot of the Meisid u'Meitziach, of the Mitzora, we see the very clear idea that one person can really influence others, lira'a, in a horrible way. And the only way to correct that is to get them with better people. For those of us who are teaching in schools and we watch classes and we watch groups of kids every year, we can see the kid. We can watch that kid, whatever age they're at. And we can see them and how being with good peers and the good chevra in the class will bring out the best in them. And you'll see this exact opposite. And I see these people nodding their heads. When they're with that other chevra, they're going to change. And sometimes you need to pull a kid out and put them in the other class because it's really just not working over there anymore, and that's a reality. And the only way is litchaber imo litov, to connect to him for good. And one of my favorite Divrei Torah, I have one of my students here, I said, the only thing you're going to hear that's a repeat, because I love this one and I say it everywhere and all the time. It's a fantastic pasuk from Yeshaya, where Rav Volba quotes the pasuk that says, Ish et re'ehu ya'azoru ula'achiv yomar chazak. A person should help their friend, and to his brother, he should say chazak. Says Rav Volba, what's the difference between being an ozer, helping, and being mitchazek? He says, ozer is avodah yom yomit. You drop something, I pick it up. You need a ride somewhere, I take you. You need something brought to you from the store, I bring it to you. That's ozer, that's functionality. That one should be able to functionally help each other. That's a chevra tova, that we functionally help each other. Ula achiv, but when we feel really, we feel achva. We feel love, we feel real true friendship. Yomar chazak. And he says, he comments that the on the Rambam in the Mishnah and Kiddushin, Derech Eretz Hu Chaburas B'nei Adam Chabura Tova B'nachas U'B'Musar. A good chevra is when we have people together who are at ease together and they keep each other on the straight and narrow. They help each other out. That's the ability that we have. That's the chevra tova. The chevra tova is nachat, which literally means serenity. That this person makes me feel good about myself. This person makes me feel calm. This person makes me feel at ease, brings out the best in me. Ubimusar. And we're keeping each other in check. We're keeping each other in line. Ish et re'ehu ya'azoru means I can help out a friend, I can be functional, but chazak means I should be keeping them strong, that my friend has the ability to keep me strong, and that is the chaver tov. And that is why Rabbi Yoshua says, that's the derech yisharash yidbak bo ha'adam. Find that one good person, find that one good crowd, find that one good neighborhood, find that one good shul. Find whatever that is good for you, that is going to be mitchazek, that's going to keep you strong. It's invaluable in life. We weren't created to be alone. And that power of the negative influence, again, I said, the whole media, which is blaring at us just from everything we turn on and every street we drive down, is shouting negative influences at our children, at ourselves. We have to insulate. We have to be mitchaber latov. We have to first say what Avram said, get that away from me. Let me find good. Let me look for good. Let me mitchaber latov. Rav Schwab says in his unbelievable Sefer on Tzvila, we know that the Gemara in Sukkah says, that Yitzro shel Adam mitgaber alav b'chol yom v'yom. That the Yetzer of a person is overcoming him every single day. V'ilmalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu ozer lo, eino yachol lo. And if Hashem won't help you, you won't be able to do it. I've had different people say to me, whatever mitzvot it might be applying to in their lives as a teacher, as a rebbetzin, I know it's right, but I can't. I just can't. Whatever that is, it's I just can't. The Yetzer Hara is so strong. And what is the request? Along the list of the Yetzer Hara that we say every day as we close Birchat HaShachar, every single day of our lives as we're saying our brachos in the morning, what do we say? V'harchikenu. Me'adamra. Keep me far away from a bad person. Mi chavera, mi shachenra, mi pegara, mi satana mashrit. We put these people on the same line as the satan. It's the adamra, it's a bad person. It's a chavera, it's that same person that we've been talking around all along. It could be somebody that we count as a friend, but it's mitchaber imo lara. And that person in life can be a friend, can be a shachenra, it can be a bad neighbor, and that's why we said a person can literally change chunot. to be with a better chevra, that might really be something that a person might do in life because they're looking for bnei aliyah, they're looking for people who are growth-oriented, they're looking for people who are more like-minded. And that is very real in life. And it could be a friend, it could be a relative, it can be an associate, it can be so many different people in life that can have that detriment on you, that negative influence. It can be somebody in your office, it can be that person. And we daven to Hashem to not have those people in our lives. We daven to Hashem every day that I shouldn't have those people in our lives. And the art is, those people are around. We know the negative influences are out there. But the question is, what are we going to be mitchaber to? What are we going to connect ourselves to? What do we hope that our children will connect themselves to? That concept of chevrut, of that chevra tova, of that chaver tov, is a reality. Chaverim kol Yisrael, when we say that, when we bless the new month, we say that we're all friends. That concept is chaverim tovim. Good friends. Mitchaber imo latov. That we in Klal Yisrael should always be connecting to each other for good. And if someone is sending me messages that are not latov, harchikenu. And if I can't physically distance myself, I must intellectually and emotionally distance myself. And that is the avoda of life, throughout life. That I have to know what my ability is and how strong my ability is to connect. And going back to where we started, again, that negative influence is so much stronger than the positive influence. So I have to constantly be working on those good connections, on making those good connections, and certainly in Asifa like this, is making good connections. And it's beautiful that you all came here and took out the time to learn this morning. And everyone should continue to have a lot of hatzlacha in their lives, in their children's lives, in their students' lives, in everything that they do. Thank you very, very much, and have a wonderful day. Thank you. That's so nice that you thought it was a good for you.
And you're driving the whole yourself?
If you can. And
you're splitting driver.
Yeah.
I don't blame you.
You work it out with her? I love you.
I know. Let her. She has a lot of rules.
But if it was, you could say this is the cousin that I'm not spending.
But you want to be simple. Should you be simple?
Yeah.
And you hope maybe they'll chill out.
And that you're still one person simple.
So you could choose your family.
What's your
name? You can't choose
your family. You can't choose your family. No. Then if you can't, then you're already there. You have to just.
I'm a grandchild. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Someone who could be like a rav to you, that you learn from.
So,
thanks for the inspiring talk.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Emerson.
Hi. You know what to tell you? I have a friend. She has disconnected herself. She's very friendly with me.
And Baruch Hashem, she
had
them. Yeah, they gave out puzzles of Yeshiva HaKot, the old city.
Well, that's what I get for speaking.
That will keep you well.
Thank you so much.
Hi, what's your name?
Sarah Gomez.
Oh, hi, nice to meet you.
Thank you.
Thank you, darling.
Where do you grow up to?
Yeah.